Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah that said that a woman should not go out into a Rishus HaRabim v'lo b'machat she'eino nekuva. She shouldn't go out wearing a needle that doesn't have a hole in it. A needle that has a hole in it is a needle we would associate with sewing. Here we're talking about a needle that doesn't have a hole with it, and where the Mishnah says that she should not go out. That means l'chatchila she should not go out, but if she were to go out with it, she would not be chayev achatos because it has a din of a tachshit. It's considered ornamental. The Gemara asks, l'may chazya? What is this unholed needle fit for that you call it a tachshit? And once again, we're referring to it as a tachshit by the fact that she's not chayev achatos. It wouldn't be considered a Torah level violation if she were to wear this thing, this unholed needle, outside. So we're looking for what is the tachshit element, the useful element or the ornamental element behind this particular kind of needle. So the Gemara has a couple of approaches. And on the side, you'll notice we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. And this is highlighted by a double underline. And they are Deos. Well, these are different opinions. Loma machat sheinu nokuv. Or Loma machat sheinu nokuv nikro tachshit. Why is it referred to as a tachshit? So the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef hoyu v'isha oigeres bo saira. Looking at Rashi, oigeres bo saira hayoytzei chutz l'kiv shura, a woman whose hair is protruding beyond where it's usually tied up, korachtoi saviv hamachat, she would wrap the hairs, the stray hairs around this needle, v'toicheves hamachat basvocha mitachtel shlo yeres saira, and she would then wedge it underneath the svocha, the head covering, so that her hair should not be exposed. The Gemara continues, Omar Le Abaye, Veteve Kabiris Tahira, Vetishtari. Why does the Mishnah, if this is the explanation behind a machat, Shena Nekuva, why should it not be allowed as a first choice? In other words, it should be such that lichatchila, that at the outset she should be allowed to go out with it, just like is the case with a Biris Tahura. Biris Tahura, Rashi explains, is a type of ring-shaped entity that is slipped up around one's stockings to keep them from falling. And that is something that is what's called, it serves her socks, and as such, it's something that's not Mekabel Tuma because it's in service of clothing, and one is allowed to walk out with it because it is for it's part of the idea behind the wearing of clothing that is for the preservation of modesty, and this too, the way Rav Yosef explains this needle, it's for the preservation of modesty. The non-exposure of a woman's hair is considered a halachic expectation and requirement for preservation of modesty. So, since the Mishnah doesn't say that she's allowed to go out with it lechatchila, we're bringing into question Rav Yosef's explanation. Ella, rather, Tirgumor Rav Ado Narsha, Kamei de Rav Yosef, Rav Ado explains, Hoyo v'isha choylekes bo saira. The woman uses this kind of needle for parting her hair. Well, that's a nice general explanation. B'Shabbos l'may chazya, one is not allowed to comb and part one's hair on Shabbos. So what's its Shabbos use? As don't forget, the Mishnah acknowledges that it has a Shabbos relevance insofar as the fact she, if she does wear it out into the Rishus HaRabim, she's not considered carrying it. So it must have some type of Shabbos pertinence. Omar Rava, Rava explains, Tas Shel Zohav Yesh Lo Al Rosha. This unholed needle that the Mishnah is describing has a type of golden plate on the head of the needle. B'chol chalekes basayra, during the weekdays she uses this for parting her hair. B'shabbos manichosa keneged padachta. On Shabbos she positions the needle in such a way that the golden head of it, this golden plate that's on the affixed to the head of the needle, is on her forehead. So it has a tachshit or ornamental value, and hence it's it has pertinence for Shabbos. The Mishnah: Lo yetze o'ish besandal hamesumar. A man is not to go into the Rishus HaRabim with a sandal. Is an open type shoe. In English, we might refer to it as a sandal. This is opposed to another article of footwear called a minol. That's a closed shoe. Now, the sandal hamesumar, mesumar are nails. And Rashi explains that the sole of this is made of wood, and nails are affixed in the wooden bottom to connect it to the upper part of the shoe, of the sandal. So, the Gemara will explain why a person is restrained from wearing this out to Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. Another restriction, V'lo b'yochid b'zman she'ein ragl maka. The Mishnah says that one should not go out with a single shoe when he is a person that has his feet are without bruises, without injury. In other words, we'll talk about, call him a healthy person, should not go out with wearing a singular shoe. The Rashi mentions two pshatim. One is that if a person does go out with a singular shoe, people will think that he's carrying the other one, and it causes an ill reputation for the person. And the Loshon Rabosai, the teachers, the rabbis of Rashi, share a pshat that people may laugh at him. He'll look at this guy walking out with just one shoe. So, and he'll react to the jeering and remove the single shoe that he is wearing and then end up carrying it. So we have two reasons shared by Rashi as to why one should not wear a sandal yechidi. Also, v'lo b'tfilin, one should not wear tfilin wear them outside on Shabbos. V'lo b'kmeya b'zman she'eno min ha'mumcha, nor an amulet if it's prepared by someone that's not expert. V'lo b'shirion, v'lo b'kazda, v'lo b'magafayim. The Rashi points out that the Gemara will explain these things. For im yotzeinu chayav chatos, and if he does go out with any of these things mentioned, he is not chayav chatos because they are categorized as a type of clothing, an article of clothing, and therefore it's not a problem of a masui, of merely a burden or carrying something, but rather these are all. The things featured in this Mishnah are acts of wearing clothing, which is not something that is prohibited from the Torah on Shabbos. Truth be told, the Gemara will be preoccupied. In other words, the balance of our shiur for Daf Samach will be preoccupied with the Sandal Hamasumar. The Gemara won't get to the next item, the single shoe, until Daf Samach Aleph. The Gemara, as we turn to it, features with our markings a series of triangles, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading on the outside margin, Nosei is a topic, Mivneh structural note, we feature a triangle, and we've indicated these are Hezberim, the Isur, Sandal, and Mesumar. They are explanations as to how this shoe, the sandal, became forbidden. Before we get into the Gemara, the general answer has to do with there was a tragic event that happened historically with a shoe whose bottom was nailed to the upper part, and as a result of the tragedy that resulted, and there are three different approaches to explain it, but as a result of that tragedy, the rabbis ruled that we don't want you wearing this thing, we don't want you wearing it outside on Shabbos. So it's a, we're dealing with something that's a gzerah, it's a rabbinic restriction, but nothing to do with the shoe as an inherent problem vis-a-vis Shabbos, but rather more as a, we can maybe say commemoration, or possibly something even deeper than that, because of an incident that happened once with this shoe. The Gemara, Sandal Hamasumar Maitaima, the Sandal Hamasumar, we won't have to translate that anymore, we've explained it already. What is the restriction, or why was it restricted? Omar Shmuel, Shmuel explains, Shalfei Hagzera Hoyu. Shalfei are people that are trying to escape. The word Lishlof is like to slip off, so people that slipped away. Gzera is a time when there was when the Romans issued edicts that were oppressive to the Jewish people. So there were people that were trying to escape these edicts. And they were hiding in caves. So there was a group of, we'll call them refugees or escapees that were hiding in a cave. The Omru. And amongst them, they agreed. Hanichnas yikones, a person who wants to enter can enter. And the assumption is that people before they enter will look around to make sure they're not being followed by the enemy. V'hayotze al yetze, and no one shall leave. In other words, you can go in, but you can't go out. And the reason for that is that once you're inside the cave, you don't know who is outside, and the enemies might be laying in wait, and they will see one of the cave inhabitants exiting, and that will give away their location. Everyone's location will be compromised as a result. So what happened? Nepach sandoloi shel echod mehem. It would be helpful, but we don't have one at hand, some type of model or illustration of this kind of shoe. This sandal could be worn in a reversed fashion. So what happened here is that the someone wore, we'll say they wore the shoe backwards. Someone who was entering the cave nepach, it flipped over, but it means it got switched around, so that, you know, apparently it is wearable this way, maybe, but it's not the primary way to wear it. He wore it in such a way that if you looked at the footprints, it would look like someone was exiting the cave, but it really was someone entering the cave. So nepach sandolo shel echo mehem, one of the entering individuals wore his shoe, but in a backwards fashion. So kisvurim heim echad mehem yotza. The inhabitants, being that there was very little light, or all they were able to see were the footprints or the shoe on the, they were able to see the floor, and that's it. So they thought that one of them just exited. Veru oivim, and they also suspected he was spotted. The Achshav Boina Lehem, and they got all worried that now the enemy is going to plunder. And what happened? Dochaku ze boze, v'horgu ze eze yoser, mima shehorgu bohem oivim. As a result of the fear and the confusion that resulted, they ended up trampling one another and killing more of one another than the enemies ever killed of them. Now, this whole incident took place, the trampling took place with these kind, they were wearing these kind of shoes. They were wearing, called nail-bottomed shoes. And it's somewhat, it might remind some of you of, let's say, some sports shoes that are spiked-bottom shoes. But whether or not that is the actual description of it, what's important for us is that they plundered one another and trampled one another while wearing these kind of shoes. As a result of this, the Rabbanan made a gzera, and it also has to be pointed out that the incident took place on Shabbos. Continuing in the Gemara, the next approach is Rabbi Loi Ben Elazar Omer, a similar approach, but he says, B'ma'ora hoyu yoshvin, they were all the refugees were in a cave, Shamu Kol Me'al Gabi Hama'ora, and they heard noises above the cave, Kisvun Hayu Shebo Aleim Oivim. They thought that the enemies discovered their whereabouts, Dochu Zeh Bozeh V'Hargu Zeh Zeh Yosu Mimash Shehargu Wehen Oivim, and the same calamity resulted, where they trampled each other and killed more than the enemies killed of them. Rami Bar Yecheskel Omar Bebeis HaKnesses Hayu Yoshvin. The story behind the Salam of Shlomo involves a group of people sitting in a shul. And they heard a noise from behind the shul, and they thought that the enemies were coming upon them. They pushed one another, and they ended up trampling one another, killing more than the enemies killed of them. As a result of that calamity, Amru, the rabbi said, Al Yetse Odom Besada Masumar, they ruled that a person shall not go out on Shabbos with this kind of foot gear. Gemara asks, Ihochi Bechol Nami Litzar, so if it's a ruling because of that calamity, it should be ruled that on a weekday also no one should wear these shoes. The Gemara answers, Maisa Kihava, the incident that took place, Beshabbos Hava, it took place on a Shabbos. So, and we'll see that a theme develops in this Gemara, that when gezeros are made, when rabbinic restrictions are made, they're made to reflect the original incident. The Gemara asks, if that be the case, b'yom tov, l'shtiri, haloma tanan, if the event took place on Shabbos, and that's why we allow it on a weekday, then when it comes to a holiday, a yom tov, the sadal hamasumar should be allowed. But yet, it's not. Aloma Tanan, why do we see it taught in a Tanaic source? And we turn now to the top of Omid Beis, the second line from the top. The Mishnah in Maseches Beitza deals with sending things to one another on Yom Tov. And one is allowed only to send things that have some type of Yom Tov use. And as a result, it says in the Mishnah there, Avolo Sando HaMasumar Avolo Minol She'enu Tafur. One cannot send to his friend a sandal hamasumar, and that's what's important for us. The minol shenu tafur is not central for our purposes, and that's why we put brackets around it. The question is minol shenu tafur is a shoe that hasn't been fully sewn together yet, so it doesn't have a it's not, we'll say, useful for wearing on Yom Tov. But for our purposes, you see from this source that Salam Asumar is not to be worn on Yom Tov. The question is that if the incident took place on Shabbos, it took place on a Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, so why is there any Yom Tov restriction? Just like on a weekday you're allowed to wear the Salam Asumar, you should be allowed to wear it on a Yom Tov as well, and as a result of that be able to send these shoes one to another. The Gemara answers, B'Shabbos Mai Taimo. On Shabbos, what is the... Well, literally means what is the reason, but it's like what is the nature of Shabbos? De'iko kinufio, it's a day that people get together. In other words, there's gathering of people. They gather together in shuls and in study halls. Rashi adds, just like that incident, there was a getting together of people. They got together in the cave or in the shul, however you learn it. So there is a that's the nature of Shabbos. B'Yom Tov Nami Iko Kenufya, on Yom Tov also you have this phenomenon. So it is very similar. It's just like Shabbos. Therefore, just like the shoes were also were prohibited on Shabbos, they're prohibited on a Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, Tainis Sibor Iko Kenufya Litzar. Tainis Sibor are public fast days. Those are days that people also get together in shul. Tainis Sibor in the classic Shas sense are days when there is a drought and lack of rainfall, and people get together to pray for rain. So if there's gathering, so let the shoes be ushered to be worn on Tainis Sibor. Gemara answers, Maisa Kihave, the incident that took place, the original incident, Bekinufio di Surah, Hacha Bekinufio de Terahave. It was a gathering of people, but Isur means on a day of Isur Malacha, where there is a prohibition of engaging in creative activities, which is characteristic of Shabbos and of Yom Tov, but that's not the case of a Tainus Sibur. It is permitted to be engaged in malochus and constructive activities on a Tainus Sibur. Therefore, the Tainus Sibur doesn't mirror the original incident. The Gemara continues with a point. Before we continue with this point, we must say just a word of background. There is an entity known as Pora Aduma water. That's ashes of a red heifer that's mixed with water and is sprinkled on people that have become Tomei Meis, defiled to the dead. There was an incident once that the Mei Chatos was transported on a boat over in the Jordan River, and there was an olive quantity of corpse flesh found wedged in the bottom of the boat. And that created Tumah, and as a result of this, the Rabbonon, we'll say that created Tumah, ruining the Mei Chatos. And as a result of that, the Rabbonon issued a ruling. And as far as the nature of the ruling, there is a machloikis. There's the Shitas Achachomim, and there's Shitas Rabbi Chanina. The Shita of the Chachomim is that they made a gzera that one is not allowed to transport Mei Chatos over water, not through a boat, nor over a bridge, nor float them on the surface of the water, whether it be the Jordan River, where the original incident took place, the Yarden, or any other river. So that the Rabbanan made a fairly broad or extensive restriction regarding the transport of Mei Chatos, of the Poraduma water, the red heifer ash water mixture, over rivers. Rabbi Chanina said, listen, what was the nature of the original incident? Or where did it take place? It took place in the Jordan River. And it didn't take place on a bridge, it took place in a boat. And as a result of that, Rabbi Chanina's opinion regarding the Pora Aduma water restriction is limited to the exact original event. So Rabbi Chanina's approach to making gzeros, if you were to try to expand his opinion from the case of Mechatis to other type of gzera making, you would say we restrict it to reflect the exact original episode. If that be the case, let's think about our case with the Sadal Masumar. The Sadal Masumar took place on a Shabbos. What would someone like Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who was very limiting or restrictive in his gzera making, what would he say about extending the Sadal HaMasumar prohibition to a day other than Shabbos? So the Gemara will make a point and say, it is true that he is very limiting in his gzera making, but in the case of the Sadal HaMasumar, he too will agree that the Sadal HaMasumar prohibition will include Yom Tov as well as Shabbos. You'll then ask, well then, why by the Sadal HaMasumar is he more expansive? Namely, he will include Yom Tov, whereas by the Pora Aduma he was very restrictive. So let's see the Gemara. The Gemara makes a point. V'afilu the Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, the Omar. Rabbi Chanina is very limiting in his gzera making, and he who said, lo osu elo biyardin misfino ukemaisa shahoya. We already gave the background for that. That they didn't restrict the transporting of Pora Aduma water over rivers other than specifically the Jordan River, and only if you're transferring it in a boat, which is the exact reflection of the original incident where they discovered the olive quantity of corpse matter wedged into the bottom of the boat. So, Hani Mili Yardain, the idea of his being very restrictive is vis-a-vis the Jordan River, the Shaini Mishar Naros, it's different than other rivers. Other rivers are either wider, more narrow, have more water, and less water, and a deeper, shallower. Every river is different, has its own characteristic. So, therefore, he says the Gzera shall reflect the original incident. Avo Yom Tov v'Shabbos ki adodi ninhu. Yom Tov and Shabbos are one in the same. So that even though Rabbi Chanina is restrictive in his Gzera making to reflect the original episode, original event, by having the Salam Asumer Osir on Yom Tov, he is really not deviating from his Gzera scheme. Disnan, the Mishnah points this out, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are one and the same. The Mishnah says, Ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos elo uchel nefesh v'vad. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos in terms of activities that are allowed or restricted, other than the realm of activities involving the preparation of food. But outside of that, Shabbos and Yom Tov are one in the same. So it comes as no surprise that the Sandal HaMusumer restriction on Yom Tov is not only according to the Rabbanon, but even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. The Gemara continues with more qualifications of the Sandal HaMasuma restriction. On the side of the Gemara, we have noted under the Nosei the topic heading, Isur Masmer, the Isur of the Sandal HaMasumar, Ihave Lechazek, if the nails are present in the shoe for bonding or for strengthening the shoe. Avalanoi O Lahashvois Mutter Shihei Mispar Masmerim. But if you're dealing with nails in a shoe, let us say for decorative purposes or for creating a level bottom, but not for strengthening the attachment of the upper part to the lower part, then we have allowances. And the Gemara will explain. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, lo yishanu elo lechazek. The restriction of sandal masumar is only when you're dealing with a nailed bottom shoe, which the nails are for lechazek, to strengthen it. Avol. Linoi mutter, if the nails are present for decorative purposes, it's okay. Vakama linoi, how many nails in a shoe, in a sandal, would constitute decorative? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, chomesh bozeh v'chomesh bozeh, five in each shoe. Rabbi Chanina Omar, sheva bozeh v'sheva bozeh, seven in each shoe. Omar lei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rav Shamon bar Abba. As baroloch, Rabbi Yochanan says, I will explain to you my number, and also Rabbi Chanina's number. L'didi, according to me, that I said five, shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan v'achas v'tarsi yosef. Two on the outside rim of the shoe, and two on the inner rim of the shoe. One near the when we speak about on the sides of the shoe, one is near the toes, and the other near the heel. Both on the outside and inside rim of the shoe, and one nail is where the straps are attached to the shoe, to the sandal. And Rabbi Chanina, his number, which was a total of seven, is figured as Gimel Mikan, the Gimel Mikan, three on one side and three on the other, the Achas Batar Siosef, and one where the straps are attached to the sandal. Mesve, the Gemara raises an objection, and the objection will be focused on Rabbi Yochanan. So here we want to focus on the numbers. The source says Sandal Hanoite Oisilo Sheva Divrei Rabbi Nosson Rabbi Matir Beshloshesrei. Let's try to be superficial initially before we give too much explanation, because what happens in a Gemara like this, the more explanation you give, the more difficulty it is to see the question. So superficially, the numbers are, we'll say, in this Tanaic source, will benefit Rabbi Chanina, because he spoke about a total of seven, and here you have this sandal, and it allows, according to Rabbi Nosson, he allows seven nails in it. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Ola Rabbi Chanina, who the Amak Rabbi Nasan. Rabbi Chanina, who was an Amora, will parallel the Tanaic authority of Rabbi Nasan. That's good. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, who said five, the Amar Kaman, who is Rabbi Yochanan based on? Where did he get five from? So the Gemara answers, who the Amar Rabbi Nahiroi. Desanya, he will be based on another Tanaic authority, Rabbi Nahiroi, and it says in this source, Rabbi Oimer, Chamisha Muter Vesheva Osir. Five nails are allowed, seven are not. Before we go further, let's go over the Gemara a little bit with just a little more explanation, but the basic question and answer we have just finished. We had seen Rabbi Yochanan 5 and Rabbi Chino 7, and we had a Tanaic source in Meisve, Sandal Hanoite. Now, a Sandal Hanoite is a sandal who's thicker toward the heel and gets very thin toward the sole, so that toward the front part, the toe area, so that the sole creates a type of incline where it's reminiscent of women's shoes. We speak about women with heeled shoes, so the foot is on basically an incline, and it's in all due respect to women, it's would seem to be somewhat uncomfortable. And what people what one would do is to add to even things out. One would heighten or thicken, we'll say, the front part of the shoe so that it becomes level with the heel by adding nails to it. So that's the sandal hanoite. So you're entitled to let's say, even out the level of the shoe by adding, according to Rav Nosson, seven nails, and Rabbi says 13. The Gemara continues, and we read this already, but we're reading again. Bishlam Ola Rabbi Chanina, who the Amak Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Chanina, who spoke about seven, so he will parallel Rabbi Nosson. And Ela Rabbi Yochanan, the Amak Kaman, Rabbi Yochanan, who spoke about having five nails as being acceptable, who is he based on? The Gemara says, "Who the Amak Rabbi Noroi? Rabbi Yochanan is parallel to the Tana Rabbi Noroi, the son of Noroi Oimer, Chamisha Muter v'Sheva Aser." The Gemara continues, "Amar Le Eifa. Eifa is a name. Amar Le Eifa L'Rabo Bar Barchana. Atun Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan Aviduk Rabbi Yochanan." Speaking to Rabbo, he says, "You are students of Rabbi Yochanan, so you shall conform to Rabbi Yochanan's limitation: five nails." Five nails would be considered decorative and would therefore not come under the Sandal HaMasumah restriction. Ana Navid Rabbi Chanina. We have a right to have up till seven nails, and that would be considered decorative. Bomine Rav Huna Meravashi. Chomesh Mahu. Rav Huna asked Ravashi, what is the din with regard to five? So Omale, Ravashi says, Afilu Sheva Mutu. You can have even seven. Teishomai, what about nine? Amale afilu shmoina osir, even eight. If you're asking about nine, but even eight is forbidden. Bomine hahu ratzono me Rabbi Ami. Ratzono might remind you of the word ritzuos, but he's a person who deals with leathers, and in this case he is he's a shoemaker. So he asks Rabbi Ami, tofroi mi bifnim mahu. Let us say a person sewed a closed shoe into a sandal. In other words, he made an insert. What is the din then with regard to nails in such an example of foot gear? In other words, it's not you're dealing with something. It's not a basic or standard sandal, which we describe as an open type shoe, but here he sewed a closed shoe into an existing sandal. What is the din? Omale, Surab Ami says mutar v'lo yadana ma'itaimo. In other words, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan that it's allowed, but I don't know why. Omale Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, "V'lo yoda mor my taimo." You don't know the reason that it's mutter. Came of the tofu bifnim havelei mino. Once the insert was sewn in, it becomes a closed shoe. The sandal goes with Rabbanon, the minolo goes with Rabbanon. The gezeira was made regarding a sandal, an open type shoe, with its nails, not with regard. The gezeira was not made with regard to a minol, with a closed type shoe. This reflects the entire theme here of gezeira making. That gezeira making is designed to reflect the original incident. And as we said, the original incident involved sandal, not minol. Bomine Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, me Rabbi Abba bar Avina. Aso kemin kalbois mahu. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Across from here, a couple lines up. Aso the masmer kemin kalbos, belaz it's a tin phylon, shnei roshin chadin, ukfufin, venoyitz, shnei roshin ve'etz. It's a nail that has two pointy tips. In other words, not like the nails we may be familiar with, a flat head, but rather two pointy ends, and it's then bent over in a curved form called a horseshoe shape, and the two pointy ends are then banged into the wood bottom of the sandal. So what is the din with regard to a shoe like that that has its nails banged into it in that form? And we'll call this the kalbus form. Amarlei, so Rabbi Abba bar Avina answered, mutter. That's okay. It doesn't come under the restriction. It's different than standard masmerim, and as we said, the gzera is designed to reflect the original incident. The original incident did not have nails like this. The Gemara continues, Itmar Nami, Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina, Aso Kemin Kalbois Mutter. This bent, double pointy tipped nail is allowed. Namely, it doesn't create a sandal hamasumar that is restricted. Omar of Sheshes, Chipo Kulu B'Masmerus Kedesh Lo Te Karka Uichlosoi Mutter. This is a case where he nailed nails into the entire bottom of the shoe. In other words, the bottom of this sandal is covered with nails. And why would someone do that? Well, simply to protect the bottom of the shoe from the ground eroding it. We're assuming that the bottom of the shoes were made of wood, so wood would tend to erode in time as you walk on the ground. So the nails would extend the life of the sole of the shoe. So if someone covered the bottom of the shoe with nails to protect it from erosion, that too is not under the sandal hamasumar restriction. Tanya Kavose de Rav Sheshes, and a Tanaic source supports Rav Sheshes. Notice the source is lasts a number of lines. The support, and this is one of our special features in Gemara markings, is the ability to spot with a dashed underline where the source supports the opinion that we're trying to strengthen. In this case, Rav Sheshes' opinion is supported by the source, and just take a look where. Everyone can see where the dashed underline. At the end of the source, it says, Oshichipeo kula b'masmeres kedei shleite karka uchloso muter. That's exactly what Rav Sheshes says. Here, you find that in a Tanaic source. That having been said, we now start the source. We said, Tanyo kavosei to Rav Sheshes. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Sheshes. Lo yetzei ho'ish besandal mesumar. Person shall not go on Shabbos into a to Rishus Rabbim with a sandal hamasumar velo yitayel mibayas lebayas, nor stroll from house to house, afilu mimita lemita, even from one bed to another. So that any form of wearing the sandal hamasumar is restricted. Avo mitatlan oso lechasis v'sekli v'smuch bo kari hamita. Though there's a restriction in wearing it, there's no restriction in moving it, so that a person can carry a sandal musumu around to use it to cover a vessel or to support the legs of a bed. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Oser. He's more restrictive, and he says you can't even move it around because you might come to wear it. The source goes on, Noshru Roiv Mas Meroisov, V'nishtayr Bo Dalet Ohei Mutter. If the majority of the nails fell out and there remain four or five, it's okay. Rabbi Matir Asheva, Rabbi says, even if seven nails remain, it's still all right. Chipol Boor Milamato, V'kovoy Loi Masmeros Milamalo Mutter. We should point out, of course, that as is the case in many, many Gemaras, further details of this Tanaic source will be dealt with, so that if you have questions on the source, bear in mind that the Gemara will focus on some of the details here, maybe answering your question. So let's continue in the meantime. The source says, Chipo ba'ur, ba'or mila mata, v'kova lo masmeros mila malo mutter. If you wrap the bottom of the shoe in leather and put nails in from above, nailing from above down, that's okay, that's not a sandal hamasumar. Aso kemin tos o kemin yosed. If you made the head of the nail like a tas is a plate, in other words, you flattened out the head of the nail, or you made it pointy like a peg or like a stake. So you're changing the shape of the nail or the form of the nail from the standard nail, from the original, the way the nails looked in the original incident. Or you covered the entire bottom of the shoe with nails to prevent it from being eroded by contact with the ground. Mutter, it is okay. It's okay to wear that kind of shoe. It doesn't come under the sandal hamasumar restriction. So we brought the source in primarily for the last line. However, now the Gemara focuses on some of the other aspects. Ha gufa kashya. The source is inherently difficult. Amris, you said on the one hand, noshu rov mas meroisov, if the majority of the nails fell out, hafagav de nishtairu bei tuva, even though a large number still remains. In other words, if you had a shoe that had 30 nails in it and 16 fell out, 14 remain, that the source indicated it's okay, it's all right to wear it, doesn't come under the Salam Suba restriction because the majority fell out. V'hodur toni, and then you say arbo chomesh in tfei lo, that if there remain four or five, it's okay, but more than that, no. In other words, you're restricted to a very specific specific number, as opposed to simply saying that the remaining of a minority is sufficient for allowing. Not so. You see that only if this number remains more than four or five, no. Omar Rav Sheshes, lo kashya. Kan she nig memu, kan she ne ekru. Nig memu is a situation where the exposed part of the nail, the head of the nail, the exposed part, has been lopped off, has been cut off. But you, by looking at the shoe, if you were to look at the bottom of the shoe, you can see that there is a nail there, just that the exposed part, the surface part, has been cut away. And a case like that, we'll tell you, and actually you should know that there are two approaches in Rashi, but we're going to take the first approach. Under such circumstances, people can see that rove of the nails fell out. So we can be matir that. People will understand. The reason he's wearing is because rove, the majority of the nails, fell out. He can see that by looking at it. However, nekru is a case where the entire nail was uprooted. And when something like that happens and you look at where the nail originally was, you can't tell that there was a nail. As a result of that, we have to say we're not going to allow more than four or five nails. More than that, it would look like a sandal hamasumar and not look like a shoe. The majority of whose nails fell out. Continuing in the Gemara, the source had mentioned arba oi chomesh mutter. If four or five remain, it's okay. Hashta chomei shori arba mibaya. If you're telling me that you're allowed to have five remaining, do I need to tell you that if you have only four remaining, it's okay? That's obvious. So why does it say four? Omar Rav Chisda, arba misandal koton, v'chomesh misandal godol. we will allow five nails remaining after most of them have fallen out. If you're dealing with a large shoe, we'll allow only four. If you're dealing with a small sandal, Rebbe Matir Ad Sheva. The Gemara asks on this report of Rebbe, and in order to see where this was, you might want to take advantage of little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see above in the source where that comment of Rebbe had appeared. But we have a question. V'atanya Rebbe Matir Ad Shloishes Rei. Notice that the right-hand side of the Gemara text, there's an arrow. If you skim up the page, you'll see a parallel arrow, and you'll see there Rebbe said 13. So the Gemara answers, Noita Shaini. The original source was talking about someone who had put nails in a shoe to level out the otherwise inclining shoe. That was the noite. If you're putting nails in to even it out, then we will allow 13. That's the case of noite above. So that the with this information, that noite shiny, we can use this information and go back to where we originally raised a question on Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, Hashta da'osis lahachi. Now that we've come to this point that we're saying that the case of noita does not reflect the standard approach to a sandal hamasumar, the Rabbi Yochanan nami lo kashya. What we originally had posed as a question on Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan originally said that only up till five will we allow nails and claim that they are decorative. More than that is no longer considered decorative. And then we asked, well, what's the Tanaic basis for Rabbi Yochanan? We quoted the source with the sandal hanoite, and we didn't find anyone supporting Rabbi Yochanan. That was the question we asked. At this point, the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yochanan ami lo kashya, the source of sandal hanoite doesn't pose a difficulty, Rabbi Yochanan. Noite shiny. And as Rashi explains, Rabbi Yochanan, who said five, he may very well agree with the likes of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson said seven only because you were dealing with a sandal hanoite. But if you were dealing with a regular flat bottom, even level shoe, Rabbi Nosson himself would agree only five. So that you can't say that Rabbi Yochanan has no basis. The fact that source didn't reflect Rabbi Yochanan's numbers because that source was dealing with a different case. It was dealing with the sandal hanoite. Omar Rav Matona, vi amri lo Omar Rav Achtuvuye Bar Matona, Omar Rav Matona, ein halacha k'rabbelozer Rabbi Shimon. This might sound like, where is this coming from? But with Gemara markings, take advantage of the double star you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and align this with the previous double star. You can see in the source we had seen Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon said that you're not allowed even letaltel, you can't even move around a sandal hamasumar. So here Rav Matona is ruling the halacha is not going to be like him, but rather it is mutter to metaltel, to move around a sandal masumar, insofar as it's a kli, it's a vessel, it has use, you can use it for covering other things, or for supporting the legs of a bed. The Gemara says, what do I really need Rav Matona's teaching for? Pshita, it's obvious that we're not going to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, yochid v'rabim, alochik v'rabim. When you have a controversy between a lone authority versus a majority that disagrees with the singular authority, the halacha follows the majority. So even without Rav Matona explicitly telling us that we are not to follow the restriction of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, I would know that on my own. The Gemara says, well, I really do need Rav Matona. Mahu de Taimo. On my own, I would have thought, Mistabra Taimo de Rav Elazar ben Shimon Baha. That Rav Elazar ben Shimon's logic is more likely, namely that if you allow someone to move it around, he might come to wear it, and that will defeat the whole Gzerah. So let's restrict him from even moving it. That's what I would have thought on my own, to go like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon because of the power of his reason. Komash Malon, hence Rav Matona comes to dispel that and say, even though the logic might look like him, we're nevertheless not going to follow his restriction and allow the movement, as opposed to the wearing, the movement of the sandal hamasumar. Amar Rabbi Chiya, ilav dekoru li bavloi shori isuri. If I wouldn't be afraid of gaining the nickname of the Babylonian who is exceptionally lenient, who shari means allows isuri, allows restrictions, sharina be tuva, I would allow many more nails, and still the shoe would not be considered a sandal hamasumar. Vekama, well, how many is that? How many would Reb Chiya, who he's called Bavloi, meaning he was originally from Bavel, he was featured in Maseches Sukkah as someone who came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but he was afraid of allowing more than what we've mentioned already, because he would then be called the overly lenient Babylonian. Well, the Gemara is curious, so how much would he have allowed? Pupadisa Amri, in Pupadisa they claim, Esrin Varba, he would have allowed 24 nails. Besura Amrin, Esrin Vitartin, in Sura they claim, he would have allowed 22 nails. Omar of Nachmaritzok, Vesimonoich, in order to remember that the Sura number is less than the Pupadisa number, just remember the following. Ad to also mi Pupadisa, Lesura Choser Tarti. In Reb Chiya's journey from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so he traveled from Pupadisa to Sura, and in walking with shoes, so nails tend to fall out. So from Pupadisa to Sura, two nails would have fallen out. This is like a type of mnemonic or a memory device to remember that Sura is Choser. And if I'm not mistaken, Rashi points out the Sura Choser, Doima Eitzel Doima. And it could be that what Rashi's saying is that the word Sura has a Samach and a Resh in it, just like the word Choser has a Samach and a Resh in it, so that Sura represents Choser, something less than the number of Pupadisa. As the Gemara continues, it focuses on the prohibition of wearing a singular shoe on Shabbos. However, this particular topic of the singular shoe restriction of walking out with it to the public thoroughfare will continue a number of lines down Daf Samach Aleph, and hence in the context of our Daf Yomi Shi'ur, this is a convenient place to pause. So with this, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.